Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. If you're joining us online, it's good to have you, and it's very strange for me to be in church on this weekend. It's the first time that I'm here and not at camp, so it's a weird feeling, but I'm really very excited about what God has put on my heart for us today. So let's pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you so much for those 15 lives that got saved last night. We thank you, Father God, that you are moving in that camp, and we just pray again that your hand would be upon that group of youth and young adults, and they would continue, Father God, to see you move in their lives and have encounters with you. And Father, we thank you that the same God that is at camp is the same God that is here right now. And so, Father, we pray that you would be in our midst this morning. We thank you that you are in our midst. And Father, I pray that as I share your word this morning, that it would bring life, that it would bring encouragement to us, that you would move by your spirit in our hearts. So give us ears to hear. And Father, we just pray that you would have your way in us. In Jesus' precious name, everyone said, amen. Amen. So a few weeks ago, we were in the car as a family driving down to the beach, and we had some worship music playing, as we often do. So we're very spiritual, our family. And so one of our daughters, we're not really, I'm just joking. Well, we are, but anyway, we had some worship music playing. And one of my daughters is particularly observant and very switched on and listens very intently to everything that is going on around her. That's you, Violet. And whether that is the conversations that are happening or it's what's on TV or what music is playing on the radio or whatever. And it keeps us on our toes. And anyway, we were listening to Elevation Worship and the song came on called Rattle. Who knows that song? Oh, a few people. I thought everyone that knows that song would be at camp. There are a few people. Anyway, so it's a great song and you can go home and listen to it after the message. It's got a real sort of warfare anthem beat to it. Anyway, and she said to me, as she often does, Violet, Mum, what are they singing about? And I think it was the line that had just played, this is the sound of the dry bones rattling. If you know the song, you'll know that line. And, you know, the times that I occasionally might have the radio on in the car and she might ask that question, Mum, what are they singing about? I've got to be very creative with the answers that I give when a secular song comes on. But how great is it, and I don't know if parents, you've been in this position, when your child asks, what are they singing about? And because you're listening to worship music, you can don't have to dodge the answer or make something up, but you can excitedly say, you know what? It comes from the Bible, and you can open up God's word and actually explain to them what they're singing about. And so that's what I did. And so I opened up my phone and I read the passage that this song comes out of, which is Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. And as I read the passage in the car to us all, God really stirred something in my heart and I thought, this is really great stuff. And I said to Aaron, I turned to him, I said, I think I might preach about this in a few weeks' time. And then last week, Graham talked to us and he spoke about being infused by God. And he prayed at the end of his message for people that had dry bones or who were feeling parched. And this whole week, God has been leading me really strongly to share out of Ezekiel 37. So that's what I'm going to do. And I've called the message this morning, These Bones Need Breath. And so we're going to read from Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to read verses 1 to 10 and you can follow along on the screen. Verse 1 says, The hand of the Lord was on me. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Verse 4, then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So pretty amazing if you can imagine this scene happening before you. Also probably a little bit scary to see all these dry bones and these skeletons come to life. And so as I go through this passage this morning, I've got three things that happen in this story that I think that we can learn from but also be really encouraged by. And the first thing is that dry bones exist. And so if we go back to verse 2, Ezekiel says that God led him back and forth among the valley, and he saw a great many bones on the floor, and he said that the bones were very dry. And so first up, we see that there's a lot of bones and that they're very dry. They're not just a little bit dry, but they're very dry. And what this tells us is that these bones have been there for a long time. Because dry bones aren't just dead bones, they are long dead bones. I actually read somewhere that they were far beyond the reach of resuscitation. And so at first glance, we have a situation here that seems pretty dim and pretty hopeless. And you know, dryness can happen very easily in life, and it can happen very quickly. And if you just think about it in the physical sense, remember all the rain that we got like before Christmas at the end of last year, and everyone was complaining about all of the rain. But the plus side was that everything was really green. Everything was really, you know, alive, and our grass never looked better. But then you get a couple of weeks and it stops raining, and you get a couple of weeks of really hot weather, and all of a sudden the grass isn't green anymore, but it's yellow, and everything is dying because it's so dry and it doesn't take very long. And in the spiritual sense, it can be a little bit the same. And so what dry bones might you have in your life right now? Something that once had the fullness of life, but now it doesn't. Dryness can happen in so many different areas where we feel depleted, or we feel lacking, or we feel empty, or we feel weary or worn down. And maybe it can be in relationships that we have. There's a dryness in certain relationships. It could be in ministry or in gifts. I think about people that have God-given gifts, but those gifts have been let go or dropped or neglected or not being used, or dreams that maybe we've given up on. Maybe there are promises of God, or maybe there are answers that you have been waiting on God for and you've been waiting a really long time for. It could be dryness when it comes to just our zeal and our passion for God and the love that we have for Him and sharing that love with other people. There can be just a dryness in our general faith and our walk with God. Sometimes it can feel like we're just going through the motions. And we were talking about a few weeks ago in the office about prayer. Sometimes there can be dryness when it comes to our prayer life, where the prayers that we pray have maybe lost hope, and we're not daring to pray those impossible prayers. It can be dryness in so many different other areas of our life. And maybe like the dry bones in Ezekiel, you've felt this dryness for a long time, to the point where you think that your dry bones are beyond the reach of resuscitation. And I was reflecting on my life, and I was reflecting on just the seasons of ups and downs that we have in God and as Christians when those dry areas or those dry things occur. And I just was thinking, well, how does this happen? How does it happen? Because one minute you can be on fire and you can be, you know, passionate and in the Word and full of faith. And then after a little bit of time, maybe there's no rain for a while, or maybe there's a bit of pressure, a bit of heat comes in, and all of a sudden that dryness sets in. What causes dry bones? And I had a look in the Bible, and it's interesting. The Bible has a few things to say about this. And I find it really interesting when the Bible teaches about cause and effect. I think it's really important that we take note of. And so this isn't an exhaustive list. I've just picked four things that I think can cause dryness in our life. I'm not going to spend long on each of them. But the first thing I found was a crushed spirit. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. What's a crushed spirit? A crushed spirit is one that is wounded or hurt. It's one that is sad, one that is sorrowful, one that's dejected. And when I looked into some of the commentaries, it said that when we have a crushed spirit, it wastes the marrow of the bones. So the marrow is that really good stuff inside our bones. And it wastes the moisture and the strength of the body. And that's life, isn't it? Stuff happens and we get hurt and we get wounded and we feel downcast. And I'm not saying that every single time we have a day where we feel sad that that's going to cause dryness in our life. But I do think that when that happens and it's ongoing and where there's not healing that takes place, that can cause dryness. The second thing I found was envy. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." And again, it makes sense when you think about it, doesn't it? When we're always looking around and looking at what others have and being envious of them and their life or what's going on, then it makes us feel empty. It makes us feel depleted. It makes us feel like we're lacking. And again, one of the commentaries that I found said this. It says, "A man that envies the happiness and prosperity of others, this preys upon his own spirit." Again, there's similar wording here. It says it not only wastes his flesh, but it weakens and consumes the stronger parts of his body and his bones. We've got to be so aware of envy and jealousy because it will destroy us from the inside out. Thirdly, I think about Graham's message last week when he spoke about how we are not regularly and continually being infused with God. And I think, again, that will cause dryness in our life. And I've got that picture that you showed us of the tea bags in the water. And if you didn't listen to that message, I encourage you to go back and have a look. Not being infused with God will create dryness. And the fourth thing I had was a hard heart. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, "I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." And so this is a message from God to Israel. And it's in the chapter literally just before the dry bones. And a hard heart is often associated with pride. And when I looked into what a heart of stone means, it was described like this. And I've got it on the screen for you. A heart of stone is stubborn, is senseless, receives no kind impressions from the word or from the Spirit of God, and is hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And again, wherever sin abounds, it will eventually cause a hardness and dryness in our life. We're warned about having hard hearts. In Hebrews, it says, "Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the times of testing in the wilderness." It's often during those times of testing, it's often during those periods in life that can be hard, that causes a hardness in our hearts. But we're warned what the result will be when our hearts are hard in Ephesians. It says, "They are darkened in their understanding. They are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." When our hearts become hard, when our hearts aren't soft before God, that will cause us to be separated from God. And so we're going to be really careful about the state of our heart and keeping a soft heart before God. And so maybe you've got some dry bones in your life, and maybe it's the result of a crushed spirit or envy or a hard heart, or maybe it's to do with something totally different. And actually, these bones in Ezekiel, the other thing is they weren't just dead, they were also disgraced. Because in ancient Israel, an unburied corpse with exposed remains, and when you were denied a proper burial, it actually was a shocking disgrace. It was really, really something that caused shame and disgrace. And so sometimes the dry bones in our lives can actually bring a similar feeling where we actually feel shame and disgrace. Why is this happening to me? This shouldn't be happening to me as a Christian. But you know, after God has shown Ezekiel this valley of dry bones, he asks him this question. I know it's been a little bit dim so far, but it gets better. He asks him this question. He says in verse 3, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And it's kind of a trick question. And I don't know how you would go if you were standing in a valley looking at a whole lot of dry bones and God asked you that question, can these bones live? But if Ezekiel had responded to God based on the evidence around him, based on what he could see in front of him in that valley, I'm sure Ezekiel probably would have said no. Because again, remember, these aren't just dead bodies, they're dead bones. They've been dead for such a long time. But you know, Ezekiel gives a pretty good answer, I think. He says, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." He's like, I don't know. but you know. And I think that's a pretty clever answer. See, Ezekiel doesn't have hope in the dry bones, but he does have hope in God. And I think that what God wants us to be encouraged by in this story is that nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is beyond his reach of resuscitation. What may appear hopeless and dead to you and me is actually a field full of possibilities for our God. And you might not have hope in your dry bones right now, but you can have hope in the God who has the answer for them. In fact, you can hope in the God who is the answer for your dry bones. And that leads to the second thing, and that is that God's breath brings life and brings forth restoration. In verse 5, this is what it says. It says, "The sovereign Lord says to these bones, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord." It is God's breath that brings forth life. And we've sung that song. We sung it last week. It's your breath that brings life. It gives freedom and hope, and it lifts us out of the dark. God's breath, God's spirit brings forth life. We saw it in the very beginning when God breathed life into Adam. In Genesis 2, it says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." That word breath is the same in Genesis as it is in Ezekiel. And even Jesus, after he died, after Jesus was brought back to life, this is what he did with his disciples. He breathed life into them. In John 20, 22, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings forth life every single time. And so then we come to verse 7. And it says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, there was a rattling sound." Now, I don't have any skeletons lying around my house, I don't know if you do, but I have a few of these deer antlers, thanks to my husband. I think these were bought, actually, like that's not a result of a death. And so, but I thought, you know, like that sound, that rattling sound, you know. Can you just imagine that you're Ezekiel and you're standing in a valley and you've just prophesied, and all of a sudden you can hear this rattling sound, except it wouldn't sound just like that. It would sound bigger, and it would sound a lot bigger. And as he was talking, these bones start rattling. Just a little bit of visual for you. Where were we? A rattling sound. "And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them." And so we see here that God works in stages. Although the bones had now come together, and now the bones were covered with tissue and with skin, and that's impressive, it's actually not much of an improvement, because there's still dead. They're just dead bodies instead of dry bones. And sure, dead bodies might be more pleasant to look at than skeletons, but there's no more breath in them now than there was before. The brain is in the head and the chest is in the heart. The heart is in the chest. Thank you. I knew it sounded wrong. And the lungs are there, but then there's no breath. There's no breathing. And so in verse 9, God instructs Ezekiel again. He says, "Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." Just as God breathed life into Adam in Genesis, he breathes life into these dry bones in Ezekiel, except there's a little bit of a difference. Because for Adam, it was new life. God created Adam out of dust. That was new life. But in Ezekiel, these bones were already dead. They had already lived, and so he's breathing life into them again. What he's doing is that these bones, they're resurrected. Another word you might use is that these bones have been restored. And really, this chapter and the chapter before is about God's promise to his people that he would restore them, that he would restore Israel. See, Israel had lost a lot of battles over Ezekiel's lifetime. And most recently, they had lost to the Babylonians, and they had completely destroyed Jerusalem. They had knocked down the walls and the temple, and there was nothing left to go home to. They were a dead nation with no signs of life or recovery until God shows up and breathes his life into them. And if we read into verse 11, we see God's heart for his people. We see God's love for his people and his desire and his promise to restore this nation. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Restoration is the process of returning something to its former condition. And it is a process. It is never an instant thing. It is often not fun or enjoyable. And it always takes longer than what you think it's going to take or that you want it to take. And anyone who has restored anything would probably know that. Whether that's an old piece of furniture, whether that's an old house, or whether that's a broken individual or a nation that is cut off and without hope. But God always works through process, and he always does things in the proper order. And if you just look at these dry bones, he doesn't say to Ezekiel, hey Ezekiel, grab a thigh bone or grab an ankle bone and I'm going to breathe my life into that ankle bone, because that would just be freaky, wouldn't it? But what happens is that the bones come together and the bones form a skeleton. And then after the skeleton is formed, then the flesh comes on, then the tendons, then the skin wraps around. And the very last thing that God does is he breathes his life into the bones. There's an order. There's a process. And it's like that with us in our lives. When God restores things, he works in order. And sometimes it's obvious to us, and sometimes it's not so obvious. And often God needs to do some sanding in our lives. And when you restore something, often there's sanding involved. Aaron, who plays the drums recently, and you probably didn't know this, restored that drum kit. And, you know, he did it over the Christmas break. And he didn't just take the old drum kit and get the new black wrap and just wrap it around it. What he had to do is he actually had to strip it of its old paint. Then he got a wire brush and he spent time with the wire brush, you know, getting all the bits that the paint stripper didn't. Then he sanded the edges because they'd been damaged because the drum had been dropped and it was dinted, and he sanded it. And after he had done all of that, then he was able to clean it and wrap it in its new wrapping and put some new skins on. And so there's a process and there's an order when restoration happens. And the sanding that happens in our life, where God gets rid of some stuff that doesn't belong there, that's never fun. It's not often an enjoyable process, but there is purpose in how God works. And maybe you're in the middle of a restoration process right now. Maybe God is restoring you and it's taking a long time. You're thinking, how long is this going to take, God? Be encouraged this day that God always finishes what he starts. Philippians 1:6 says, he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Be encouraged that there is purpose in what he's doing. Just look at those bones and what they became. They weren't just a bunch of revived and resurrected bodies that lay around on the desert floor with nothing to do and nowhere to go. What Ezekiel tells us in verse 10 is that they became a vast army. They stood up and became a vast army. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word army, the things that I think of is I picture people with strength. I picture people that are unified. I picture people that are equipped with armor and with weapons, that go out in confidence to the battle that lays before them. And that's what God made dry bones into. And that's amazing. This bunch of dry bones became a vast army. Not just people. God didn't just revive these dry bones to make them into people that would just wander around aimlessly doing their own thing with nothing to do. No, he made them into a purpose. He made them into an army with a purpose. And he does the same with us in our lives. He wants us to be people, when he breathes his life into us, to strengthen us, to give us vision, to give us a purpose, to give us confidence to go out into the battle that he has for us. Not to do our will, but to do his will. And he does all of this so that we know that he is the Lord. Because that's the other reason for restoration. That's the other reason that God breathes life into these bones, so that the people of Israel know that they have a God. And it says in verse 13, "Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them." And it says that in verse 6 as well. And you know, among other things, the people in Israel, they had idols. It wasn't the only issue they had, but it was one of the issues. But God wanted his people to know that he is their God, not their idols. And he's revealing himself to his people so they can't deny his power. So they can't deny his faithfulness. So they can't deny his love and his grace and his mercy in breathing life into them. He's telling them, your idols can't bring your dry bones back to life. Your idols can't open up your graves and bring you up from them. Your idols can't settle you in your own land. But I can. I can and I will. And I'm doing this, I'm restoring you because I love you, so that you know I am the Lord, so that you know I am your Lord. And all of this is so that God can be glorified, so that others recognize that this is not the work of us, it's not the work of the people, it's actually the work of God. His breath brings forth life and restoration. And then thirdly, the third thing that we see in this passage in Ezekiel is that it's a partnership. God brings dry bones back to life. It's his spirit, it's his breath that does the work, but we are involved. We have a part to play. In fact, we have an active role to play, because our relationship, our walk with Christ is a partnership, because it is that. It's a relationship, and relationships are two-sided. A relationship with God is never meant to be just one-sided. Those kind of relationships don't ever last very long. And in reading this passage, I love how God used Ezekiel, but I also really love, and what stood out to me, is how Ezekiel was willing to be used by God in the valley of dry bones. And I want to finish this morning with three instructions that God gives, because I think that they're instructions that he gives us as well. And the first one is this, is to prophesy. In verse 4, it says, "Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Then in verse 9, he says again, "He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Lord says." And so God asked Ezekiel to prophesy twice, once to the bones and once to the breath. And in both cases, God doesn't just say to Ezekiel, "Go and prophesy and you can work out the rest." No, God tells him exactly what to say. And prophecy is simply, to prophesy is just to speak prophecy. And prophecy, they're both spelled the same, is confusing. But prophecy, at its most basic definition, is a message from God. And so to prophesy is to proclaim or to speak a message from God. And if we look at 1 Corinthians, it tells us the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, for encouraging, and for comfort. And so that's what prophecy is for, to strengthen, to comfort, and encourage. And when I looked into the word prophecy in these passages, it explained it like this, and I think it's really important that we understand. Prophecy was not in the sense of predicting what was to come to pass, but simply in that of speaking under the inspiration of God. That was one commentary. Another one said that prophecy was to proclaim God's quickening word to them. And so you think about it from Ezekiel's perspective. He's preaching to a graveyard. He's standing there in front of a bunch of skeletons and prophesying. And that would initially seem like a bit of a waste of time, because generally speaking, skeletons don't have ears. And so, you know, Ezekiel, I don't know what he was thinking, but it would have felt a little bit weird. And yet what this tells us and what this reminds us is the power of God's word. That God's word is so powerful that it infuses new life into that which appears dead. And it wasn't Ezekiel's message, it was God's message, but Ezekiel was simply the mouthpiece for God. And sometimes in the seasons of dryness in our life, we need to prophesy to our dry bones. And that might sound a bit strange and a bit weird, but it's actually not. Just like Ezekiel did, we can pray and we can proclaim and we can declare God's word, God's message, God's powerful truth to the things in our life that are lacking and depleted and empty, that are parched. God is the one who does the reviving, but we can be the mouthpiece. And you might think, well, I don't know what to say. How will I know what to say? It doesn't matter. You don't have to know what to say. All you need to do is pick up your Bible and open it up and find a promise of God, and the Bible is filled with God's promises, and speak that into your life. Speak that over your life. It's not that hard. We don't have to have the title of prophet to be able to do that. We just have to believe that the Word of God is living and active, that is sharper than a double-edged sword, that it can pierce between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. And so I know that in my life, when I've had seasons of dryness, opening up God's word and speaking his promises and his truth, maybe I've not called that prophesying before, but it's still declaring God's message to me. And there are times when we need to prophesy to our dry bones. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. The second instruction, this is not really a second one, it's kind of part B of the first one, but it is to obey. So God told Ezekiel to prophesy. That was the first thing. But, you know, just because God tells someone to do something doesn't mean they do it. There are plenty of times in the Bible where God has given instruction to people and they haven't listened or they haven't done it. But Ezekiel did. Ezekiel did obey. And the outworking of his obedience was that the bones came alive. Yes, it was God who made them live, but it was Ezekiel's obedience in prophesying, in doing what God commanded him to. And it was part of the miracle. It was a partnership. They worked together. Verse 7 says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a rattling." The bones started rattling as he was prophesying, as he was being obedient to God's command. Verse 10 says the same. "So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them, and they came up and stood up on their feet, a vast army." And you know, it would have been foolishness to anyone that was looking on and seeing Ezekiel speak to these dry bones. But Ezekiel didn't care. Notice that Ezekiel didn't ask God why, and he didn't ask God how, and how long is it going to take. Ezekiel didn't need to understand the ins and outs of what God was asking him to do. And again, we can learn from this. Ezekiel just obeyed. God told him to do something and he just did it. And that's an encouragement for us, because sometimes we make things more complicated than what we need to. And we want to understand why, and we want to know, well, how long is it going to take? But how is it going to work, God? And I just don't see it. But again, if Ezekiel made a judgment based on what he could see, well, it looked hopeless. These bones were long dead, but he obeyed and God did the work. Sometimes we just need to obey without knowing the hows and the whys. So what is God asking of you? What do you need to be obedient to? Whatever it is, don't wait for an explanation. Don't worry about what others might think. Just obey. And if I'm honest, I had a pretty flat start to the year. I started off being quite sick, just a horrible cold, but it progressed into just feeling very unmotivated, feeling really, really flat and down. And that's very unlike me. And there's been a few other contributing factors I won't go into, but I've been feeling a little bit dry just really recently. And yet it's not up to God to come in and just magically fix things. There's a part that I play in allowing God to breathe his life into me and into the dryness. It's his spirit that does the work, but I'm not just a bystander. And as I was praying to God about this just the other day, and there's an idea, when we have dryness in our life, talk to God about it. It's really important. And as all I was doing is just lying on my bed, and I said, God, what's going on? I don't understand what's going on. Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel so flat? And when we ask God and when we invite God to speak into our situation, He will often answer us. And God said to me, really, the Holy Spirit just prompted me and said, get off your phone. Get off your phone. Because there was an app that I discovered around Christmas time that I started playing a lot of. And it wasn't anything bad or evil. It's just a Scrabble game. I really like this Scrabble game on my phone, but I started playing it a lot. I started playing it too much. And that's not the cause. I don't think that's the cause of my feeling, but it wasn't helping. It wasn't helping the flatness and the dryness. It was actually adding to it because it was taking time away that I could have been spending infusing myself with God. And so that's what I felt God say to me. And so I had a choice about, well, do I obey this or do I not? It's just a game, something evil. But I did. And I removed it from my phone. And I'm not saying that I magically feel amazingly better instantly, but I do notice a difference because God knows. God knows the things in our life. And if we're willing to be obedient, God can make a difference. Because even in the valley of dry bones, God speaks to us. We just have to be listening. What is God prompting you about? And this leads to the third instruction that God gave, which was not to Ezekiel, but was actually to the bones themselves. And that is to hear. Verse 4, dry bones hear the word of the Lord. But it doesn't just say dry bones hear the word of the Lord. It says dry bones hear the word of the Lord because there is an exclamation point there. And I always notice exclamation points in the Bible. And in fact, there's no other exclamation points in this whole passage. This is the only line. And so I feel like this is God shouting. This is God actually saying, hey, dry bones, listen up and listen good. You need to hear this. Hear the word of the Lord. And there is emphasis there. And I love that the dry bones had a part to play. Their job was simply to hear. Their job was simply to hear God's message to them, to hear what was being prophesied. They were dead and yet they could hear. Do you understand how crazy that is? These are dead bones. And they could hear God's word. They couldn't hear man's word. They couldn't hear Ezekiel, the person, but they could hear the word of the God. Dead things hear God's voice because God's word is powerful, because God's voice is powerful, God's message is powerful. And sometimes when we've got dry bones, we just need to be willing to open them up and allow ourselves and allow them to hear what God is saying. Last verse. Romans 10:17 says this, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. When we hear the right thing, it builds our faith up. It strengthens us. Amen? And so as I wrap up, we're going to go into a time of communion now, and Graham's going to lead us in that. This passage in Ezekiel might be a really old story, and yet it's relevant for us even now. There are dry bones that exist. That's just life. Everyone has them, and we all go through those seasons. And yet the encouragement is that God can bring forth life out of the things that might have been dead for such a long time that you have no hope for. And the people, the Israelites, they had no hope. They said, our hope is cut off. Our bones are dried up, and yet God brought life and brought hope in a situation that seemed hopeless. His breath breathed forth life, and yet he's not just, yes, he can come in and do miracles, absolutely, and yet most of the time we have a part to play in being obedient, in actually believing God's truth, in declaring God's truth and listening to God's truth. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for just the encouragement that this passage is for us. And Father, I know that there would be people here, whether they're in the building or whether they're watching online, and there's dryness in their life. I don't know what that is, but you do, God. And Father, I pray that this day, that your people would actually, you would you would not just revive them, but Father God, you would actually bring those things back to life. And Father God, that you would create, Father God, in them people that have purpose and vision, that are strengthened by your Spirit alone, that they can go out confidently into all that you have for them. And Father, I just pray that as we come into a time of communion, as we come into a time of response, Father God, that you would increase our faith, that Father God, you would strengthen our faith, even as we've heard your word this morning, that as we hear that, it would build up our faith. And so, Father, I pray that, Lord, that if you're speaking to people, which I know that you would be, Lord, help us to be obedient. Help us to know your voice. Help us to hear your promptings, Holy Spirit, and to obey what it is you might be asking of us. Father, I pray that you would breathe your life into every single person right now in Jesus' precious name. And we pray these things. Amen. In your name, amen. Thanks, Graham.
All right, Nick. What a great message. We're going to come around a time of communion now. I'm wondering if those that are serving communion will do that for us. I want to use what Nick has said in our communion this morning, if I may. What is communion? Communion to me is a remembrance of what Christ has done. The Bible tells us that the Word of God did not return to Him, to God. The Word did not return to God void, but accomplished that which He purposed. Jesus is the Word of God. And Jesus returned to his Father, accomplishing everything that he purposed. In the passage that Nick read, one of the questions was, or the question was, Son of Man, can these dry bones live? Son of Man, can these dry bones live? Now, obviously, we know the answer. Nick has explained that extremely well. But John 10:10 says to us that the thief comes to steal, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. Jesus returned to his Father, having accomplished that which he purposed. What he purposed was that he destroyed the works of the devil, that we might have life and have it to the full. And so the 3 points that Nick rose, dry bones do exist. Nick shared just a little bit about her own life and just how she was feeling a little dry over Christmas. That's part of our seasons. We live in a beautiful state and we have four seasons. In fact, we have four seasons sometimes every day. Okay, but we have four seasons. I love the seasons. They might advertise Queensland as being beautiful one day, beautiful the next. I reckon it's boring up there. I'd rather have the four seasons. I'd rather have, summer, autumn, winter, spring. I love it. Dry bones exist. We have seasons in our lives. And it might be that today in your life you have dry bones. The next point was that God's breath brings restoration. How about today as we take communion, we remember what Jesus did for us. Remember that he came that we might have life to the full. If you haven't got life to the full right now, then you're being robbed. And if you're being robbed, it's not God that's robbing you. It's Satan that's robbing you. He does it by deception. He does it by trickery. He might do it because you give him legal access to your life through sin or attitudes or whatever. But whatever the case is, remember that Jesus came. He destroyed the works of the devil that we might have life and have it to the full. Allow him to breathe on you this day. And then the last point was it's a partnership. I love that point. It's a partnership. And so often we don't see it as a partnership. In fact, so often the first port of call that we do is the natural. You imagine if I grab one of these antlers and I just put it in the water. That won't fit, that one. This one. Okay, I could leave it there as long as I want, and I can guarantee you that that water is not going to infuse into that antler to the point that it starts growing a body on the end there. And oftentimes, that's what we do with God. Instead of doing the spiritual first, we try the natural. Now, of course, the natural and the spiritual go together. Faith without works is dead, but we need God to breathe into our dry bones. We need God to breathe. And that's the point of call that we right now need to do. And we hold these elements in our hand. Let's remember what Christ has done for us. As I said last week, and as Nick referred to, we need to infuse ourselves in God. Allow God to infuse himself in us. We do that by waiting, by soaking, by meditating. And then the last bit about breath, breathe on you. I love the thought of that. It's mouth to mouth. It's God's mouth on our mouth breathing into us. And as Nick said, that comes through speaking God's word into existence, prophesying into ourselves. It comes by being obedient to what God shows us we need to do. And it comes by hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So today you've got those elements in your hand. I would ask you to now just wait. Wait on God. And when you feel ready, partake of this communion, acknowledging that it is Christ that gives forth life. And what we're doing today in communion is we're remembering what Christ has done. If in Nick speaking to you this morning through the word has revealed something to you, then remember what Christ has done and then act upon it.